So I have really no idea where we will end today. In terms of timing, I have an idea because we have a specific time, but I have like 25 pages of various notes that we're not going to talk about all of, but we could talk about a lot of. So I think we'll get, my hope is to get us through the list of spiritual gifts. There's a section on the end about whether all the spiritual gifts exist today, and of course that's a conversation of continuation and cessationism. I don't suspect we'll get there today. It's there if we do. We can talk about it, but I don't suspect we'll get there today, and I kind of want to give it enough time that it deserves, and so we'll see what happens there. But just in case you came prepped for hearing that, I don't want you to be disappointed now rather than at the end, I guess. We'll see what happens. How about a couple of you guys pray for us, and then, we'll get started.
Lord, I pray you'd use our time together this morning to continue to shape our expectations of what you might be pleased to do among us by the outpouring of your Spirit, by moving us into service according to the gifts you've given us. Lord, give us discernment. Give us anticipation. Help us to have the courage to step forward in the gifts that you are empowering us with so that your people might be built up and we might be effective with the mission you've given us.
All right, so what is a spiritual gift? Here's Wayne Grudem's definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Seems good, right? Like, it's pretty clear, not necessarily specific, kind of overall, general, but it's an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. And in a minute, I think John Piper will drill into that a little bit deeper. So John Piper says, a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the upbuilding of another's faith. So he drills a little bit deeper there. So this is a question that we asked. What's the difference between a talent and a spiritual gift? There are a lot of talented people out of this world, and you have talents, and you have spiritual gifts. And the question is, how do I know the difference? And I did a lot of various reading of people who had tried to attempt an answer to this question, and I found it very dissatisfactory. And I think that's because it isn't a clear answer. It's not easy to decide, this is the line where you're talking about a natural talent, and this is the line where it's a spiritual gift. Even if you were to say, I only believe in the listed gifts of Scripture, there are things in there like administration or leadership. And clearly we have unsaved people who have no impartation of the Holy Spirit in their lives who are doing excellent in those areas, right? They're leading giant companies and making money and leading people, some of which are happy with their leadership, right? I mean, you would have to say that that is a worldly kind of leadership, right? So there's these natural talents and abilities. Now, next week, we will probably get into what I call shape, or what we've referred to around here as shape, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personalities, experience, and needs, and how all of those things fit into how we use it. So the spiritual gifts is really just one thing. Our abilities and our heart come in there and various things, right? So the question of where a talent and a spiritual gift lies is an interesting question because we would like to maybe know. I don't think it matters. And here's why. If you have an ability or a natural talent and you're a believer, you ought to be using that, stewarding it for the building up of the body of Christ. And whether you're saved or unsaved, all of our natural talents are also a gift of God. And so in the end, the outcome, I don't know, is really that significant, right? So some people, like, let's say, we'll go for a second here on music. Some people talk about, is music a spiritual gift or not? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you the answer to that because the Bible doesn't tell me the answer to that. I kind of suspect that it could be. But certainly there are natural people. But if you use your gift of music and your talent and your all your hard practice and you somehow build up the body of Christ by leading us in some beautiful songs about our God that cause us to exalt him, what does it matter what we label it? Labels are sort of whatever. But John Piper, he talks about Romans 11 and 12. He gets as close to a helpful definition as I was able to find. So he looks at this passage. So someone want to read this passage for us?
For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine.
Yeah. So he says, now that is to me very helpful because it helps me to distinguish and keep separate natural abilities and spiritual gifts. They aren't the same. Many, many believers have great abilities, administration and teaching, for example, and these are given by God. Everybody has what he has from God, whether they acknowledge it or not. But they're not spiritual gifts in the New Testament sense, are they? Why? Because they do not come from faith. They're not expressions of faith. They're not aiming to strengthen faith. Our faith is the channel through which the Holy Spirit flows on his way to building up another person's faith. Therefore, any ability that we have to be a channel for the Spirit and therefore spiritual has to flow from faith in him and aim toward faith in another person, no matter what abilities we have. If we're not relying on God, having faith, and we're not aiming to help others rely on God, produce faith, then our ability is not spiritual. It's not a spiritual gift because the Holy Spirit is not flowing through it from faith to faith. So maybe what isn't as important as how and why, right? So that's how I would articulate what John Piper is saying here. Administration, gift of administration, natural talent, they both could look really similar in the sense of being good or bad, but this one is a product of my faith and calling God to come and to work in me and aimed at the building up of somebody else's faith with real intentionality and purpose in that. My daughter and I were actually talking this week, and there are times in which I am teaching, and I believe I have a natural ability to teach. I believe that I have been trained to teach, and I have experiences to teach, and all those things I can rely on. And there are times in which God does something that feels like, you know, like, I don't know, you guys probably haven't played a lot of video games, but you get like a little super boost in a video game, you know, you press the turbo button, it's like, whee! And all of a sudden you're moving a little faster than you expected. And that happens sometimes in my teaching. And for me, that's what I recognize is the Spirit has, he is taken over. We're not relying on my natural abilities. We're not relying on my experiences or my education. He's doing what he's doing. And yet there's a sense in which I operate in both of those places in the gifts that God gives me. And I want to be really sensitive, and I think we all should, to be looking for the opportunity to say, God, boost it. Make it more than it could be by me just pulling up by my bootstraps. So I don't know if that's helpful to you guys or not. That's my best answer to the question of talents or spiritual gifts. You guys, anybody have any of their own reflections on that you think are useful and would be helpful to us? And you're always free to disagree. I don't know everything.
I just want to clarify, you're saying that there is a difference between talents and spiritual gifts, but it may not be that important for us to understand which is which in our own lives. Is that?
Yeah, with the caveat of if I am asking God in faith to do something in me and aiming at building out the faith of others, that's the critical part of trying to lean into the spiritual gift aspect of it. And then whatever happens and how it happens, I don't know if I need to start bisecting it, you know, in that category. That's what I would say. Nat, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to comment. I think probably the distinction is helpful in that if we see abilities and gifts as the same, then we probably gauge our expectations of how God might work through us based upon what we presume our abilities or talents are. Whereas God sometimes anoints people, gifts people to serve in areas that's not necessarily what you would expect to be their natural abilities or talents. And so I think having both of those in hand is helpful.
That's really good. So that idea of, like, if I'm limited by my natural resources, my intellect or my experiences or my talents, but when I open myself up to the possibility of being empowered by God, really nothing becomes impossible, right? Because he can do anything he wants in me. You think, Great example would be, Moses. I'm like, Elijah, no, it's not Elijah, Moses. Moses is like, I can't talk, right? And God said, but you can and you will, and I'm going to do something through you. And he really was a great leader. Yeah, did you have something?
I think I agree with you that we don't need to have the labels, but I think this is from personal experience. When my mother was, who was the second one to pass away in the parental thing, I never would have thought that I had an administrative kind of gift, and I'm the only believer of the siblings, and so it was, I prayed that God would do something in that process, and he gave me an amazing administrative gift. There were no conflicts, it was nothing with my brothers, you know, we all went smoothly, and since that time, I have stepped into that gifting to, you know, administrate and plan these mission trips and various things. And it just, so may not have been a spiritual gift to begin with, but it was given by God for a specific reason. And then, you know, now I just lean into it more.
Well, and you learn to trust God to do it, right? Like, there is something about our spiritual gifts in which we learn to trust God to do it, depending on what your gift is. Some of them can be quite trepidatious to get started on, right? To like admonish somebody or to exhort them. That should be a difficult gift in a sense, right? Like we should come with a humility that says, this could be hard, but yeah, okay. So my next one is the help and harm of labels. So how many of you guys have ever taken a Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram, which is like could be from Satan or could be really helpful, but the church is divided on it situation. How many of you have taken a spiritual gifts test? Okay. When we start to label things, it can be helpful or harmful in my mind. So for instance, and if you hate them, I'm sorry, but my family talks about the Enneagrams and they like the Enneagrams, so if they're from Satan, I'm sorry. I know. Think I'm saying Myers-Briggs right now. I am a type 8 in that, and my wife is a type 1, and my daughter, I think Lauren is maybe a 4 or something. Anyway, if we begin to make excuses in our lives about why we're mean to people or why we can or can't do something because we have labeled ourselves a 1, a 4, or an 8, that's really unhelpful. But if I recognize that because of those things, they have, in my opinion, all these things are just sort of categories. We've sort of categorized a type, and in that type, you learn some things that can be helpful and useful if you use the tools properly. So you can either weaponize them and make them bad, or you can use them as and being good. And I think that's important on all these things, personality tests and spiritual gifts labels. When you start to label yourself, you need to be careful that you don't just limit yourself to the label that has been artificially assigned to you by a human being, right? So as we're looking through our spiritual gifts, we go, oh, I have the spiritual gifts of giving, and therefore my job is to sit my butt in the chair and do nothing on Sunday morning because I just write checks. That's what God does through me. Isn't that great? Well, let me just say, almost every single spiritual gift that's listed, there's like 20 of them, all believers are commanded to do. I don't have the gift of evangelist. Well, Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is still in your face, calling you to go make disciples of all nations, right? So faith is a gift, and yet we're all called to have faith and to grow our faith, you know? So anyway, be careful of labels. I think they can be helpful because they can kind of guide you. Go, I think I have the gift of teaching. Maybe I should begin to see if there are capacities in neighborhood church where I could express that gift. I'm going to check that out. Then the label becomes helpful, right? Because I'm using it for something positive. But if I'm like, oh, I have the gift of teaching, so you know, it's sort of an either put me on the stage up front or maybe I should go somewhere else. That's an unhelpful adoption of their label, right? So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I think we need to be careful as we move forward in the idea of labels. Yes, sir? Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to comment. I had a coworker. If you have a friend or a family, that's better than any test. They'll tell you what you guess.
Yeah, ask your spouse. You'll hear immediately. Yeah.
I had a coworker, and I was like, you know, I think you'd be great with kids, your personality. And she's like, I don't even like kids. And I was like, no, that's crap. I want you to come and I want you to try and check it out. And she did. She's a leader in Guadalajara, but she's terrific. But first thing is, though, that's not my thing. It's not my gift. But you can call people out. You can get them going, and then they'll discover the joy of participating.
Yeah, people around you. There is... So I'm going to draw, I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Steve, you go and then I'll go.
Well, I was thinking if what it helped me do was to take the inventory and those kind of things was to see what the other gifts are and double-sided. Don't expect, I mean, yeah, I felt bad like, you know, I don't like doing that or I'm not motivated that way. Well, you're motivated with the gift that God's given you.
Yeah.
And so it helped me understand that there are differences and it's okay.
Not only is it okay, it's beautiful, right? Like, in my mind, the places on that, and I did a test this week, and there's, so the idea of giving and generosity is, for me, a huge struggle. So, you know, you're writing on this spectrum, and I'm like, one, two, I know I ought to, but I don't. You know, just like, I'm just, but it for me, it was like, man, there are people out there that I know have this gift. And that's so beautiful, and I learned to appreciate it in them. And so if we go, yeah, I'm not bringing all the gifts to the table. There's some real deficiencies here, but there are people around me that are, and I appreciate them more and being in community with them because it is as God designed. Yeah.
It caused me to not expect somebody else to see the needs I see or expect.
Do it like you do it?
Yeah.
So... The test I took is called spiritualgifttest.com. As I read through various perspectives on spiritual gifts, there are a variety of them. I felt like he did a good job of listing the gifts. I felt like it was a helpful description. We'll be using a lot of his material today in terms of creating some of those understanding of the labels. Again, it's a human creation tool that is going to have a human result, but it might be helpful to you because sometimes we can't see what we can't see, and other people can help us. So, here is a list of gifts as they are in Scripture. This little piece of paper that's on the screen is taken from Grudem's Systematic Theology book. The first gift is the gift of apostleship, apostle. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. It's in Ephesians 4, 11. So these gifts, there are the four lists, right? We talked about those four scriptures last week. And each list has entirely unique, or not entirely unique, overlapping and yet unique gifts within them. So that's two in there. The one actual gift that's listed in all four lists is prophecy or prophet. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 28. You guys have those references, right? You guys have those. I'm not going to repeat all the references. Oh, no, you don't have them? They will be in the list that we get to next, so I'm not going to leave you high and dry there, but I want to keep moving through just the quick list. Teacher, that's in Romans and Corinthians. Miracles, that's in Corinthians and Corinthians. Healings, Corinthians and Corinthians. Helps, Corinthians. Administration, Corinthians. Tongues, Corinthians and Corinthians. Words of wisdom is in Corinthians. Words of knowledge, Corinthians. Faith is in Corinthians, distinguishing between spirits in Corinthians 12, interpretation of tongues, Corinthians 12, the gift of evangelist is in Ephesians 4, pastor or pastor teacher is in Ephesians 4 as well, serving is in Romans 12, encouraging, Romans 12, contribution or giving in Romans 12, leadership, Romans 12, mercy, Romans 12. So those are sort of, if you're going to say, the only gifts that are gifts are those that are listed in Scripture. Those ones that I read are in the context of things that are specifically talking about spiritual gifts and in a list. Okay? So certainly sort of those were a spiritual gift at a time for sure. We can take that to the bank, right? I've tackled these in alphabetical order. So I've reordered them not from what you saw there in terms of going through all the ones in Corinthians and then Ephesians and then Romans, but rather in alphabetical order. I think here's part of the problem with spiritual gifts. We want a detailed explanation of what it is, how to use it, how do we know. We want all the details. And what do we get in Scripture? the word. A singular word typically is all we have. Administration. Done. And so you're like, what do we do with that? Is that an English version of administration? Is that a clerical version of administration? Is that a pastoral version? What are we talking about? And so here are three categories that I used as we go through these to try to make the most discernment I can out of this. Now, admittedly limited, okay? If you look at the Greek word in its original language, Greek words come with a scope of meaning. It's not a perfect way because sometimes they can intend one side of a scope of meaning and not the other. But it's helpful to look at the Greek word and its scope of meaning. What's it kind of aiming at and what is it describing and what was it originally? That can be helpful to us. And so we'll look at some Greek words today and I'll butcher them and Brad can snicker at all of us in the back because he knows what it actually is supposed to be. We look for, sometimes there are descriptions in Scripture. There are some nice descriptions of what it is to be a teacher or what it is to be certain things, right? We know tongues, Corinthians spends a whole lot of time on tongues. It should be pretty clear, actually, of all of the gifts, tongues ought to be the most clear because there's a lot of words spilled on that. And then the other thing is there are some examples. So you would use the word, let's say, administration again, and we go through the rest of the New Testament and go, where does that Greek word show up again? And does that help us understand anything about what the gift administration might look like? That's the best strategy I can come to for a difficult problem to solve, okay? So admittedly, it's not a perfect strategy, and I think, again, the more you try to detail label this stuff, the more unhelpful it really is. Trust God to do something inside of you to build up the body of Christ for their benefit and for your edification in a way that demonstrates we need one another. That's what we're going to keep saying over 5 weeks, but it's nice to go over the list, right? So administration. What do you guys have for your administration? There's a word there, isn't there?
Kubernetes.
I don't think I got that. Is there any more things left? Little packets? So, whoever said Kubernetes, that's great. To steer. This is interesting because when I thought about administration gifts, I think about my wife, and I would say detail, right? That's my initial reaction. It'd be like people who are detail obsessed might have the gift of administration. But this is actually interesting. It actually is like a ship captain is the word administration. And its other uses in Scripture have to do with captaining a ship. But these are influencers in ministries. You can see this how Titus is described. To Titus, my true child and common in the faith, grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders from every town as I directed you. So he's got this sort of administration, right? He's taken the ship and he's turning it left and right. So the gift of administration. Anybody have a reflection on the gift of administration? Maybe you, you shared earlier, Kathy, that God has enabled that in you. Anybody see that in somebody or have a comment about it? Yeah.
So I work in administration a lot. And so what I ended up doing, I don't think it was in the job description, was finding who is best at what, and then assigning the task to them. So it's just, getting to know the people around you and how you can all work together, because you like what you're doing and you're good at what you're doing, and then it just makes everything go smooth.
Yeah, okay. So you were seeing the big picture, maybe, and then you were able to distribute the big picture into roles for other people so that things could move along. That's a great gift of administration. Yes,
Nancy. The gift of administration reminds me of many years ago when I was taking a spiritual gifts test, and it was explained to me that many of your spiritual gifts it's like a glacier, and that there's a part that you can see above the water, which you've heard the phrase, the tip of the iceberg. That part that you see above the water may be the more dominant things that you excel at, but there may be some further down. And for me, administration, was just below the waterline in terms of how high it was in my skill level or whatever. And I had a friend, a coach, come alongside me and help me with just a few organizational things. And that gift of administration really excelled. So I had never had it explained that way to me, but it just seemed like such a helpful thing for me to understand that it may not be your dominant one, but when it's required or needed for the works of service, then sometimes you can develop it just a little bit, and it'll be above the waterline, so to speak, and you can use
it. Yeah, so I mean, I think about where Timothy is called to fan into the flame the gift that was in him by the laying on of hands, right? Yeah, yeah. You got some, Dan?
Yeah, I like that idea of captaining a ship. And I think administration is when you're able to oversee a team or a family, put them in the right places, you know, help them to be effective and the whole machine to run well. I think I see that as the gift of administration.
Yeah. Yeah, so... also remember in spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit apportions to each as he will, right? So you have this idea that maybe you have a little bit, you talked to Nancy about sort of just starting to come in. Maybe you have a little bit of that gift, and somebody might have a capacity that's huge in that, and that's great. It's beautiful. It's part of how God designed it, and we just need to be good with what God is doing in us. So, all right, what else do we have? Apostleship. Let's see here. So apostleship, this enters an interesting conversation. Sometimes gifts are actually a given role, but there's still a gifting in there, right? There's an ability, a Holy Spirit ability, but there's also like a specific job title, right? Pastor Shepherd, the elders at Neighborhood Church are your pastor shepherds. We are in an office, a role, right? Your deacons are in a role of serving, diakonos, serving. They are literally the servants of the church, right? So they're in specific roles, and yet the gifts are abilities and capacities. So you might have the gift of apostleship that might come with that, but not the office of apostleship, right? Which, unless you interacted with the bodily living Jesus, it's going to get a little tricky there for the actual office. But you may have talents and abilities that seem similar to those gifts, or the same thing with pastor shepherding, right? So maybe you're not an elder at Neighborhood Church, but there's still capacities. Maybe you're leading a small group, and God's giving you those gifts and manifesting that in a very positive way there. So anyway, roles and gifts, and again, as much as you might love the line to be black and white, it's probably gray.
So is there a modern equivalent to apostleship?
It's a good question. It's a matter of discussion and debate. I would say, I just tend to think if God didn't say it doesn't exist, and it just keeps going. Now, the office of apostleship, I think there's a good argument to say there's a reason why that office doesn't exist. They were literally writing scripture, as Abe talked about this morning, and it continued as scripture. You know, there's several reasons. But there are people who have talents to pastor pastors and move giant pieces together and do some things that I think reflect similarly to the gift of apostleship. This is what I'm going to say. Yeah.
I don't know what the Greek word is because you didn't give it to us. Sorry. So maybe Brad can tell us what it is.
It's probably like apostolo. If I didn't give it, it's because it's like obvious.
I was told one time, I don't know if it was a gift test or whatever, that the apostleship gift is actually the same as missionary. Mm. It's going forward to proclaim the gospel. Is that true, Brad?
Yeah, Brad, is that true?
Brad, is that true?
The word comes from a verb meaning to send.
See, that makes sense.
So an apostle is technically, from a lexical point of view, a sent one. So take it from that.
Good stuff. The gift of discernment or distinguishing spirits. So what do we put on there? So I put just a couple of example references there. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart and lied to the Holy Spirit? Keep back for yourself part of the proceeds, right? So he comes in and he says, yeah, this is all that we gave. And Peter sees right through that. There's also that reference in 1 John there for 1, which is, again, one of those things that we're all supposed to do. And yet I think it also describes what people with this gift are able to do very distinctly. Test all things and know if it comes from a false prophet or from God. So distinguishing spirits, as I studied it, so discernment's interesting. When I think about the English word discernment, I think about, I don't know, intuitive, knowledgeable, able to pick a good path or a bad path. It's more generic, right? As I dove this week into the idea of the biblical, it really had a lot of weight in the area of from God or not from God, in the distinguishing of spirits category. So, and that's really helpful. Actually, I'll come for you just a second, Kaya. There was this reference, Sam Storms was talking, and we'll talk about Sam Storms in a minute, but Sam Storms was talking about this guy who was speaking what he was calling a prophetic word, and it just didn't seem to fit. And Sam turned to his wife and said, I don't think that's from the Lord. Do you think that's from the Lord? She said, no. And then Sam comes back and is like, I don't think that's from the Lord. But he didn't say it, but I think he was operating that way because his wife has the gift of discernment and the discerning of spirits, and he was like feeling something and checking with her. And anyway, yeah, Kaya.
Also, I had a friend in Trinidad, the Caribbean island, and he could tell the difference between people who were mentally ill and people who were demon-possessed, because demon possession was a major issue down there. Mm-hmm. And that was, part of his...
Yeah, I can imagine that would be very helpful for the building up of the body of Christ when you can separate that out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Evangelism. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, right? The gift of evangelism. I don't know how many. Let's see if he's not here, so he would hate for me to say something. But Mike Little leads more people to Christ than anybody I have ever known, and I don't think it's because of anything other than I think God has just gifted him with that. He's a custodian here and cleans our trash cans, right? As all your trash cans here were cleaned by the guy who's leading, probably, from my understanding, numerically, the most people to Christ in the body of Christ. Why? Because God is multiplying something in him. So he comes to Nick and I, and he'll say, oh, could you pray for, I'm going to talk to Bob this week. And he'll come to Nick and I, and we'll pray for him. And all of a sudden, Bob's a Christian now, And we're like, this is fantastic. And I cannot look behind me and go, boy, look at that string of people who said a prayer, came to faith, responded to the gospel. I speak the gospel. I hope that gospel has fruitfulness in people's lives, but I can't do what Mike's doing when he says, boy, I talked to this person. It was like light bulb, this person, light bulb. And that to me is the gift of evangelism. But that doesn't dismiss anybody without it from the call to be proclaimers of the gospel, to say, I have a beautiful story to tell you about Jesus. But it also makes me really thankful that God has gifted people out there who just have this capacity to, I don't know, turn hay into gold or whatever it is, but it's beautiful when God does that. Has anybody else known somebody who has the gift of evangelism and been able to celebrate that with them? Or maybe it's you.
Dan Eckley.
Dan, yeah. And we'll go into heart. So I talked about shape and heart, right? And Dan will take that gift and he will apply it to his heart. His heart is for teenagers, right? And so he just loves to call those teenagers into that relationship. Exhortation and encouragement. So you've heard of the gift of encouragement, right? Or exhortation. This was another interesting one for me this week because I thought of encouragement as niceness. But that's not really the biblical gift of encouragement. And in any of its scope of meaning or use in Scripture, it's more like directing. And I thought immediately of Doug Deese has a wonderful plan for your life. Like Doug Deese, when you think about, sorry, Doug, when you think about the nice, like super nice part of the gift of encouragement, I was like, no, Doug doesn't have that. When you think about the directing, like I know what is best and I want to lead you. When you think about, I want you to lead you into the best place God has for you, and I'm going to say words that get you there. That's what I'm saying. That's what Doug wants, and he's great at it. And I think God's given. I didn't say he wasn't nice. I'm just, to me, what I confused the gift of encouragement was with maybe the gift of mercy. And people who just, like, can't help. There's this one gal who Justine and I are friends with. They used to come to the church when they were teenagers a long time ago. Anyway, you just bump into her. Or Rita Holt is the nicest person you will, you know, you just bump into her. You're like, mercy, kindness, love. We haven't got to mercy yet, but anyway. The gift of encouragement. So here's a couple of verses that help us understand that, right? He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction and sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. Those don't sound like nice words. I mean, like, rebuke and nice. I mean, it is nice, right? Like, don't burn yourself on the stove is a nice thing to do ultimately, but when you yell at them and grab their hand away, sometimes it doesn't feel nice. Or Acts, when he came, he saw the grace of God and he was glad. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. So, exhortation, that ability to push people into spaces where they benefit, right, where they grow, and to maybe call people out of spaces where they're harming themselves spiritually, exhortation or encouragement. Anybody have any experience with that or want to add any thoughts to that? Yeah, Dan.
Another E word, Ed.
Ed Peterson, was that way?
That was Ed Peterson.
Yeah. Yep.
It kind of reminds me, sometimes we can get off-center, off-focus, and it's more of a bringing us back to Christ, bringing us back to God-centeredness.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say it is. Yeah.
It reminds me of the scripture that says, of course I can't remember now. I'm urging you to live in lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. Like that, you know, giving of yourself to get people, sharing your life in a way that urges people to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. Like a coach or a, you know, someone who's willing to even get in your face about it. You know, if you want to get here, you got to do this, and this, you know, kind of like a coach would.
100%. I think they see what needs to change, and they exhort you to get there, right? Yeah.
We did not just give you the gospel of God, but our lives as well. That those kinds of scriptures where you pour yourself out for someone else to see them move in the godly direction.
Yeah. Faith. So this is a listed gift. Interesting faith, right? Because you have, I'm not paying attention to any of my outlines anymore, sorry. We're all called, I mean, we're not believers apart from faith, right? We don't know God apart from faith, and yet there's this idea of this gift of faith that is something special. It is something unique. So what's the word there? I think it's pistis? He didn't flinch, so I think we're good. So it kind of has this moral conviction, this persuasion, confidence, a God confidence, right? Like of what's happening and where it's going. And I bet you've run into people like this that have this gift. Because some people just seem to operate with more confidence that God is going to show up. He's going to be there. He's going to fix this or that or take care of the dilemmas before you. Like, some people just have a beautiful portion of that. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't all aspire to some, but some people do, and they have it in such a way where when you bump up against them, it builds your faith. Have you guys experienced that before? When you're around somebody who's just so faith-filled, and you get around them, you're like, actually, you know what? I think of it. What's the movie, the Santa Claus? Elf. The Elf, right? And then in Elf, he's got this meter in the movie about their belief in Santa Claus that makes the sleigh fly, right? And then something happens, and someone's like, and the meter goes, and this starts to fly, right? And I feel like, and it, I know it's a horrible example, but you guys can track with me. I feel like that's what it is to be around that person of faith. All of a sudden, I'm like, and my faith increases by being around that person. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
I think of Donnie Arzandada, and when she first got paralyzed, you know, she didn't have, like, she was a Christian, but God built that faith up in her. You know, it was God-given, that faith. And if you look at her now, too, she's really grown in her faith. But she still has to seek God. God gives her that faith every day. You know, so faith is spiritual gift that God gives you.
Yeah. Giving. Beautiful picture in Philippians of a body of people who were partnered with Paul, and they gave out of their poverty. So the Philippians weren't rich, they were generous. And that is often the case with people who have the gift of giving. It doesn't necessarily mean wealthy and full of capacity to do so. It means people who just, that's their desire to see that the gospel gets multiplied by the investment of resources, and they would rather skip lunch and see that kid in Africa gets whatever they need to hear the gospel. That's that gift of giving, and Paul describes it in that Philippians when he says, you know, no other church except for you. And he says, I'm not writing to ask you for another gift. I'm writing because I want to tell you that what you did was great and so helpful in seeing the faith go forward. So giving's an interesting gift. We read a little bit last week about the different kinds of gifts, and some of the gifts are hidden gifts, right? Or sort of private gifts, and some of them are upfront stage gifts. And he talked about the fact that actually some of the hidden gifts are some of the most important gifts. And so we know from Scripture that we're not supposed to let our right hand, let our left hand was doing. So the people with the gift of giving are, if they're being obedient, likely not going, yeah, I'll fund that. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, I'll do that. You know, it's just silently going on in the background. So this is an interesting thing, because you could look at somebody and you could say, they're not really engaged in the church very much. They're not really helping. You know, like, why don't they get to it? You may not know what people are doing, and the gift of generosity or giving is certainly that capacity. Yeah, Karen.
This doesn't necessarily just mean money, right? It could mean your energy or your things or...
Maybe. Time. Yeah. I mean, because all we have is the word giving. The word is, what's the word, Brad?
Meta de demomi. I'm sorry, I'm on just the outline right now. It's healing, and then it has the word meta de demomi.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, metadidomi. That's what I said, metadidomi. Perfect. So the scope of meaning, to answer your question, is to give over, share, to give or impart. So that's the beginning of that meaning. Isn't that one in Romans that it tells us do this with that? So what does it say in Romans 12:13? Doesn't it say those who give with something? Was it? Is it generously? Yeah. So, but generosity still could be, you could be generous with your time, right? And yeah. So. Yeah.
A few years ago, Brad gave a message on time being the new commodity as opposed to money. Yeah. We're willing to give money, we're not willing to give time. And I think that had a big effect on me, and I think probably a lot of people.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's great insight. Yeah.
I think it does extend beyond money.
Yeah.
devastating. Yeah, she totally does. She doesn't have a lot of money. She doesn't like give a lot of money necessarily, but her personality or gifting or whatever it is just that, like, she doesn't need all the things she has. She doesn't care so much about that. She's good, right? She can give her time or her things or whatever. Like, she's happy, right? And that to me kind of expresses what the gift of giving might look like.
Yeah, that's a great encouragement. I really appreciate you saying that. And then I also would say I want to add to it, like, opportunity, personality. There's all kinds of things that affect what X can look like. In this case, giving, right? And so giving can look different based on the opportunity you have, the resources that God has entrusted to you. Same with teaching, same with in any of the gifts, I think. And so to try to narrow them into this really tiny slot where it can look like what you expect it to look like, again, can be really, really dangerous. Okay, I need to get going, don't I? Okay, healing. Well, that'll be fun. Actually, I feel like the gift of healing is somewhat obvious. I don't know that we really need to spend a ton of time on that. We can engage the conversation of whether all the gifts continue. Next week, we'll do that. But, I mean, like, what's the gift of healing? Healing. In my opinion, like, I don't know. You could argue maybe, but I wouldn't put that into, like, a nurse, you know, with the skills and abilities and sort of that just natural bedside manner. I wouldn't do that. Doesn't mean you couldn't or someone wouldn't, but I think the gift of healing is when God supernaturally works through you and we see some of the things that we see in Scripture. But maybe it could have a full scope of meaning. Again, it's just a word. But it's actually written in plural in Greek, so it's the gift of healings.
Let's see. Anything else there?
Do you have time for a quick comment?
Sure.
I
don't know, but let's just do it.
Yeah, for healing, there are some people, honestly, there's some people that I'd like to talk to if I need healing emotionally. I need a pick-me-up. Because they're just amazing. They're amazing listeners and encouragers. Mm-hmm. They kind of embody so many of the gifts. And it's a healing time. Just like a counselor or a...
So thinking more physical into also mental, emotional spaces.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Chris. So what's the next one? Gift of interpretation. This one is pretty specific as I understand it in Scripture. So really easy to understand. There are people who speak in tongues. There are people, Scripture says, pray for someone with the gift of interpretation to interpret the tongues to be used in the body. So someone with the gift of tongues would then need somebody and know that somebody who had the gift of interpretation who would interpret, and that would be the context that would be appropriate to use in the body of Christ. So that makes sense. We haven't really covered tongues yet, but we'll get there in just a minute. But that's the gift of interpretation. Gift of knowledge, also called a word of knowledge or an utterance of knowledge. The Greek word gnosis simply means knowledge and understanding. I think, sorry to just call people out, but I think it's part of being a family. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if you're offended by my calling you out, I'm sorry. But I think Brad has the gift of knowledge, right? So shepherding gifts and stuff like that, various of us elders have that. But I can't do with my brain what Brad can do with his brain. And I'm not saying that that's only physical. What I'm saying is he has an ability to hold information in a way that's useful to other people. There's a reason why Abe referenced back to Brad this morning and said, was that right, Brad? Or I've said that about the Greek words. It's because he's got a gift in there of knowledge and information, understanding. And I think I've seen people that Sean Shepherd was a guy who operated in that gift. He just had a capacity to have information that was useful and use it in a way that was useful to other people.
I think also sometimes God tells a person something. Like, I remember God telling me one time, you know, you need to get it together because your friend is about to pass his kidney stone and you need to be there for him. And so it was like I knew that this was going to happen. It was a knowledge.
Okay.
It wasn't like I prophesied, told other people. It was a knowing.
Well, sort of prophesied, actually, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
My testimony is that I came to the Lord by a word of knowledge from the 700 Club, in which there were pastors up there praying, and then they started to describe this person that was in anxiousness. I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. They did some particulars that made me believe that I was the person they were pointing the scripture at. I received the scripture and was saved. That's my testimony. And that was called the word of knowledge.
So and maybe, again, because they're just words, but I lean into that being more prophecy, revelation. So somebody revealed something and it was spoken and then it was, but again, label it. If it makes you happy to label it that, label it. I don't care.
They called it a world of
yeah,
knowledge.
Sure. Maybe. I don't mean that cavalierly, like I got it figured out and they didn't, honestly. I'm doing the best I can with the information I got and I'm sharing it with you. Mercy. Oh, leadership? When did we get to leadership? Did we do mercy? Oh, yeah. Okay. Leadership. Oh, look who's got the gift of knowledge now. Okay, so leadership. So interestingly, as I studied, I would like spectrumize the gifts, administration, leadership, pastor, shepherd, apostleship. They're all kind of on a line of leadership or oversight, and they tend to move, at least in my opinion, from like more detailed peace orientation to more people care orientation. But they're all pretty similar in their usages. But so leadership, this is taken in 1 Timothy to say this word manage, right? He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? So it's speaking of the exercise of leadership and the specific role of elder in a church context, right? And so it's saying, hey, here's a requirement. They ought to lead their family well if they're going to lead the church well. And so my hope was, by talking about it, you can imagine what it looks like to lead a family well and what that gift might look like, and to leading other things well. So to me, I see a lot of potential overlap with administration, but administration being pieces, and this now is sort of the management of people. Not quite as far as the care of people as much as a pastor shepherd gift might go, but still the moving of the pieces aren't details now. The moving of the pieces are people, and seeing that they're cultivated. I don't know. That's what I got. Any thoughts or comments on that? Okay, mercy. See, now we're to the M's. I was prophetically thinking into the future of the alphabet. No, I wasn't. Just sarcasm and humor is a tool of mine. If it doesn't sound like it makes sense, please default to that. So mercy, great illustration, even though it's a parable, is the neighbor who takes care of the guy on the side of the road, right? What a great example of mercy, giving of themselves, giving of their time, caring for and demonstrating love and kindness. We've talked about a couple of different examples of people that we have seen with that. But I think it's a beautiful gift when I watch this operate in the church. And it reminds me, you know, I didn't hear all of Abe's because I was prepping for Sunday school, but Abe talked a little bit about the various gifts that people have and that we can all get along. I love, mercy's not a great one for me. I mean, if you've been in a relationship with me long enough, maybe you know that the hard way. But that just gentle, loving, like you could punch them in the face and they're like, their response is like, what made you feel like you needed a punch? Do you need a hug? And like, my response when you punch me in the face is like, I'm going to punch you back, but I'm going to use the spirit of self-control to not. But mercy is not the initial reaction. Somebody had their hand up to talk about mercy. Yeah, okay.
My mom has that gift very strongly. So I grew up with it. So I thought this was ordinary stuff. And so through the years, I have used that gift when I probably wouldn't have, just because I saw this is what ordinary people do.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the spiritual gift I do have, the main gift I do have, I didn't go searching for a gift or know that. Other people in the church, older people, saw it in me as a teenager and started asking me to do stuff in that gift. So then later I could easily identify it. So I think it's just really special how we can practice, we can work in things, areas that aren't our love, because other people show us how.
Yeah, modeling, and or Kathy said earlier, right? Administration. I moved all this time thinking no, and then all of a sudden, God opened the door, said yes. Was there somebody over here? Okay, well, we got to keep going through the alphabet, don't we? Mm-hmm. Miracles. I'm going to put this one in the same category of healing. We have like a billion examples in Scripture of what it looks like, miracles, right? When we get involved in the conversation about continuation and cessationism, there's this, the concept becomes what is miraculous. They call them the so-called miraculous or the miraculous gifts. So these are things that involve maybe the obvious and rare intercession of God doing something that is abnormal to happen. I don't particularly love the language of calling something miraculous or calling it a supernatural gift, because in my opinion, they're all, when we're operating them correctly, that really mercy should be happening supernaturally and miraculously in you, but it just, when we see it, we don't identify it as necessarily like, wow, I've never seen that before, you know, but it really should be. But the miracles is the working of that which is not common, that which breaks the rules of nature, perhaps, or, you know, that's the definition of miracle as I would have it. Do you have something, Rex?
Yeah, I was talking to a lady this morning about that. You know, when, like when Mount Meadows Camp, the fire came up to Mount Meadows Camp, you know, and tons of people were praying for the camp to be saved. And the fire split and went around the camp and came back together and went on. Well, that had to be a miracle.
Sure.
And I mean, even the fire workers that were up there that weren't even believers were saying, this is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do I have to have the spiritual gift of miracles to pray for miracles? I would say no. And I think God responds to the prayers of his people and does miraculous, but I do think there are people who had the ability to do miraculous. Now, that was anytime you're going to do something miraculous, it has to line with the will, the sovereign will of God, right? He's not going to be like, oh, man, I gave that guy a gift, and he was just out there doing things that I didn't want him to do with that power. It's not how it works, but the only reason I said is maybe somebody with the gift of miracles was up there engaging in that, or maybe, and I want us to know this as a body, that God responds and does miraculous things based on us asking our good Father for good gifts. Yeah, did it.
An example was that football player. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everybody was praying, even players.
You're talking about the recent one on the NFL? Okay, yeah. I didn't follow the rest of the story. I know he was taken away.
He said even at the hospital, there were people taking turns, groups coming and praying all night long. Mm-hmm. And yet we have a Supreme Court that is looking against us even praying in public. Yeah. It'll be against the law.
Interesting. Yeah.
Every baby is a miracle.
So every mom is a miracle worker?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, all right. Oh, sorry, I already skipped that one. So Pastor Shepherd, again, this one seems pretty common in the church. I don't think you need a great description, but it's people who care for people spiritually, right? Often thrown into this is a gift of teaching, or set of there's like a pairing with teaching in this gift, because that's what you're doing. This great prophecy from Jeremiah, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding, a beautiful prophecy of what's going to happen when these pastors and shepherds come in and minister to the flock. So obviously this is the kind of gifting we look for when we're identifying men to step into that role of elder here. We're looking for somebody who cares for people and loves people and shepherds people and disciples people and helps them teach, right? So prophecy. We'll talk about that next week. Well, because it gets into the whole continuation thing, and it really does deserve some time, and I'm going to have to summarize basically things in 30 seconds here. So service, this is literally the word diakonos, from which we get deacons. And the two passages in Romans actually are unique because the passages divide spoken gifts and serving gifts, or hands gifts, right? Like what we do with ourselves or what we do with our mouths. And they're sort of, these are the two giant categories of gifts. And so service can look like so many things, can't it? I mean, it can have so many manifestations in this gift of service. But we're looking at Neighborhood Church, and in all churches, you're looking for men who have the gift of diakonos, or serving, and to come in and be a part of that deacon team. Now, there's a million other ways in the church that you can serve in charge of a ministry. You can be serving within a ministry. There's just almost everybody's doing this, right? But some people have a real capacity for it. Teaching, that seems like a pretty obvious one. We don't need to spend a lot of time there. Some people have a gift of teaching. But you probably can tell when you're listening to a gifted speaker, in the sense of not just natural, but supernatural. There are people I've heard and I'm like, oh my gosh, something's happening right now. And I'm like, I need more capacity to store this into places. And tongues, this is a matter of, that some people like to debate. It literally means languages. And so glossial means to languages. So this is them speaking a language according to all that we have in Corinthians. There seems this really strong indicator that it is a language that people speak to God, and is language between them and God, often which they don't even understand. They don't have an understanding of what they're saying, but they're praying and they're connected to God in that way. We need interpreters for that if it's going to be used in the body. I think Abe rightly said last week, it should not be looked down upon. It should be desired. It's a good thing. Pray for it. Paul was glad he did it more than anybody else, but it has its limitations, right? Paul spends time on that in Scripture, so sometimes we think we can have this sort of down look on tongues, but I think Paul could have said it about any of the gifts in Scripture, you know, like don't use it in this category abusively or this category abusively. All right, getting to the end of the alphabet and the end of our time. Wisdom. This is sort of like knowledge, the utterance of wisdom, but it's probably more than held. It's given or shared. You know what? Next week we'll start on the unlisted gifts conversation. So you can bring your unlisted gift thoughts next week, and we'll talk about whether the gifts continue or cease. And really, I don't really want that to be a matter of debate. What I want is us to be educated on why people think what they think in regard to this issue. And then I want to offer a little bit of pastoral wisdom, insight, direction in regards to why we think what we think here about that issue, as I will describe. So let me pray for us. Thanks for your patience today. I'm sorry I did a lot of yammering. God, we are all desiring to be people who use every resource at our availability to glorify you, to build your church. As we think about spiritual gifts, God, I pray that you would make this conversation fruitful to us individually, that each of us would think about the gifts that you've given us, about how they manifest in the church. And God, if we need to fan it into flame, help us to be people who are fanning into flame through this conversation, through the interplay between one another. God, I pray that we would have all that we need to be building one another up, and we would know what that means. And so, God, may your Spirit be abundantly at work in our hearts and minds. May we not quench anything that we shouldn't, and would you give us great discernment as we move forward. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.